Well, so as Dan has said, we're going to continue working our way through the letter of James. And it's been quite some journey that we've been on over the last few weeks. I mean, he's been really challenging us to think about how we live our lives and ask really difficult questions of ourselves. And we've been thinking about, how are we tempted? How do we speak? How do we listen? Do we have favourites? Is our faith active? And you can catch up online if you missed any of those, because there's some really practical and interesting stuff there. But tonight, as Dana said, we are looking at wisdom. And as ever, James has got some pretty direct things to say to us, and we will get there. But before we hear what he has to say, we're going to have a think for ourselves. So I want to start with a question for us to ponder. Think of somebody who you know who is wise. So you might know lots of wise people, but for this, just think of one person. And here's the question. Why do you think they are wise? What is it about the way they act, think, behave that makes you think they are wise? So you can take a couple of minutes, you can think on your own, you can chat to the person next to you if you would like to, and then we'll come back together in a minute. Well, hopefully you did all manage to think of some wise people to discuss. My answer, I always think of my dad, because my dad, when we were growing up, he would subscribe to these magazines so that if he ever bought something new, he would always do the research from these magazines, and it would say the pros and the cons of all the latest models of lawnmower, and he would read this diligently before making his decision. He did his homework. So he was always very wise. But there's lots of things we might say about wise people. We were talking about experience, life experience, living through often difficult times can make somebody wise. Maybe they're humble, and so they're open to other people's opinions. Other people could be right. Maybe they think before they act or they speak. Maybe they listen to other people. Maybe they read up on things before they make a decision, like my dad. Maybe they don't let emotion dictate their actions in haste.
I was going to say, think beyond the obvious.
Yeah, thinking beyond the obvious. Yeah, there's always a wider perspective than the one that we can immediately see, isn't there? And these all seem like really good traits, don't they? There are things that we want to try and grow in ourselves to become wise decision makers. But is wisdom always good? Is wisdom always good? And we're going to find out what James says to say on the matter. So we're going to read from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. And if you want to follow along in the Bibles on the chairs, it's page 1215. But it's all going to be on the screen anyway. So James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." So James is describing two types of wisdom. We've got earthly wisdom, which he puts in inverted commas, and then heavenly wisdom. And the key difference in these two types of wisdom seems to be what is at the heart of the decision making. So earthly wisdom is driven by bitter envy and selfish ambition. But heavenly wisdom is pure and peace-loving. So you could do all of those wise things that wise people do. You can think first, you can listen, you can have that wider perspective, you can have experience. But if your heart is motivated by bitter envy and selfish ambition, then this is not wise. This is not heavenly wisdom.
Now, bitter envy and selfish ambition, that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? And we might think that James is referring to particularly bitter and selfish people. And I think that we can all probably think of some people like that. And we might even dare to think about certain political leaders or commercial leaders, I'm not going to mention any names, but people who've made questionable decisions, let's say. But actually, this earthly wisdom is more prevalent than we might think at first. Winston Churchill said, "When you are winning a war, almost everything that happens can be claimed to be right and wise." Because often in our world, we are self-centered, and the wise move is the one that gets you what you want. The wise move is the one that benefits you the most. It's associated with winning. It's wise to sell your shares before a company goes bust. It's wise to get to the beach car park before all the spaces go. It's wise to sell your house when the demand is high, because you're going to get more money. So wisdom is all about what will help you to win and benefit you. But James has a warning about this. This type of wisdom can lead to trouble. So verse 16, he says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." And again, these seem like extreme words. And we do see extreme consequences in our world today of these drives for power and territory and oil and minerals and influence. And we see war come about from this. We see that it can lead to death and destruction. But disorder also happens in the not so extreme as well. I wonder if any of you remember the toilet roll issue in the pandemic. Oh my goodness, stockpiling of toilet rolls. And it just led to a national shortage of one of the most basic things that we take for granted. Now, there was a lot going on in this situation, and we'll come back to that later. But we can see that decisions based on selfish ambition lead to disorder. And at the extremes, they can lead to death. And so James tells us of a different type of wisdom, heavenly wisdom. It's not wise to be driven by envy or selfish ambition. It's wise to seek peace, to be considerate, to be submissive, show mercy, be impartial and sincere. And James says that this type of wisdom brings good fruit and righteousness. And Dan spoke recently about how our faith is alive, and we see that through the activity that comes from our faith. And if the activity produces good fruit and righteousness, we know it's healthy and thriving and godly, because heavenly wisdom leads to life. And whilst earthly wisdom is all about ourselves, basing our decisions and judgments on what will benefit us, heavenly wisdom, if we look at this description, it's about others. It's about making choices that are peace-loving and considerate. And who does this remind you of? So we thought at the beginning of somebody who we thought of as wise. Who does this set of criteria remind you of? And there's a little bit of a clue in the symbol that I've used for heavenly wisdom there. Of course, it is Jesus. He was and is heavenly wisdom personified. All he did on earth that's recorded in the Gospels, all of that was wise, heavenly wise. He sought to bring about peace, and we see in his death the ultimate act of submission. But he was ambitious. If we look at what he was doing, he was radically changing the worldview. He was directly challenging religious and political leaders. He was incredibly ambitious. He was taking on the whole way of living and turning it on its head. And there is nothing wrong with ambition. But Jesus's ambition wasn't selfish. It was selfless. And he wasn't motivated by bitter envy. He was motivated by love. But the problem for us in trying to be wise like Jesus is how countercultural this is. Because our whole society is based on competition. Because most things in this world are finite. There's limited places of schools. There's limited parking spaces. There are limited doctor appointments. There's even limited cucumbers at times. There's limited jobs to apply for. And so our whole life is set up with this need to fight to make sure that we get what we need. And there's no easy way to escape that. And I think it's worth noticing that there's this fine line between functioning in this difficult and flawed and complicated society and selfish ambition. And so what we don't want to hear in this message, but when I take a doctor's appointment, this isn't me being selfishly ambitious. This is me functioning in the world, and it's not going to lead to disorder and evil practices. But what this does show us is how easy it is for us to drift, without even noticing, into a kind of wisdom that isn't Jesus-like. Jesus-like wisdom is so countercultural that we have to be really intentional about seeking it and growing in it. And when we're growing in these Jesus-like ways, I think that growth happens in partnership. So the Holy Spirit sets to work in us. He helps us to grow and to change. But then we have a choice to join in with what he's doing, and we can help this process along. So first of all, what is God doing? What's his part in all of this? How is he helping us to grow into this Jesus-like wisdom and avoid drifting into this earthly wisdom? Well, a good place to start is asking, where does bitter envy and selfish ambition come from? Where does it come from? I mean, it could be that we desire things that other people have. And Dan spoke near the beginning of our series in James about how these desires are very real and very powerful and often not godly. And we need God's help in changing those desires. And you can listen again to that sermon if you missed it. But bitter envy and selfish ambition can also come from believing lies. We can believe a lie that we're not good enough unless we're rich or successful or have the same things as someone else. We can believe a lie that we aren't worth anything. We can believe that nobody else cares about us, and so we have to look out for number one because nobody else will. And God longs to change all of those beliefs. He longs to change the desires that aren't good. He longs to get rid of those lies that tell us that we're not good enough or that we're uncared for, because he loves us and he cares for us deeply and unconditionally. And he wants us to lead a life that leads to life. And the word wisdom in this passage comes from a Greek word which means clarity. And that godly clarity and truth-filled thinking is what God wants for us. And gradually, slowly, he works on our hearts to really believe it and internalize it and breathe it and live out of this truth so that we don't need to seek the things that advertising tells us we need. We have worth and value because we are loved. But as I said, this transformation happens in partnership. God is at work, but we can join in with what he's doing and help this process along. And I want to come back to toilet rolls. Now, the toilet roll situation in the pandemic was certainly disorder, but I think it would be wrong to claim that it was all about people being selfish. I think there probably were some people being selfish, but there was something else going on. There was something called herd mentality. One person panics and it catches, and we all panic and become unsettled. And this is a really important point about how we make decisions. Because we make decisions based on a mixture of emotion and information. And the information we get often comes from those around us. And if somebody else thinks that a certain behaviour is okay, we can start to normalise it and start to think that it is okay. Because that's how marketing works, isn't it? If we keep hearing a message again and again, we stop thinking about whether it's good or bad or true or false. We just accept it as fact. And we consume information at a scarily rapid rate. So we need to ask ourselves, what is our source of information and how are we challenging it? So when we purchase food, we have these lovely traffic lights which tell us how much fat, salt, sugar there is in our foods. We consume them knowing that is bad for us. We consume it knowing this is a treat and not to be eaten every day. And in a way, we need this with our information consumption too, and the behaviours that we're observing. We need to be ready if we're getting caught to see if we're getting caught up in earthly wisdom. We need to notice if there are too many red traffic light opinions that are starting to push us towards bitter envy and selfish ambition. And then we need to test our own hearts. Dan again spoke a couple of weeks ago about this letter from James being like a spiritual health check, and we need to get our hearts tested regularly. Well, apparently we make 35,000 decisions a day. Who knew? I've got no idea how they came up with that number. I very much doubt it's factual. But anyway, we make a lot of decisions every day. We will take that fact. And so we need to keep a check on what is motivating those decisions that we make. And so James has given us this really handy checklist in his letter, which we can go through and we can test what we're doing. So is our decision driven by bitter envy or selfish ambition? Is it pure, not mixed up with sinful motives and desires? Is it peace-loving? And here we can think about whether it's going to lead to conflict or harmony. So if you've ever been driving and you know you have a choice as to whether you go first or you let someone else go first, sometimes it can lead to road rage if you don't. So quite often it's good to be kind. And if you ever see children interacting and not sharing toys, you can see that it can lead to violence if there isn't good sharing. Consider it. I think simply thinking about the impact of our decisions on others is helpful. A friend has recently challenged me about yellow sticker bread. So you know when you go into a supermarket and you see all the reduced foods, and I saw a loaf of bread for 15p, which is a bargain. I thought, brilliant. And she said, do you really need that? Can you actually afford the full price bread? Because the next person who comes in here, this could be the difference between them having breakfast or not. And I hadn't thought about that, and it was good that she challenged me. Submissive. This word can be wildly misunderstood, but what we can think of this as is being obedient to God, being submissive to God, just like Jesus was. Are we being obedient to God and his ambitions for the world? Is our decision-making aligned with Jesus' ambitions or our own? Full of mercy and good fruit. Heavenly wisdom isn't about what is fair or deserved. Jesus took on punishment that he didn't deserve. But it is about good fruit, and we can see the good fruit come when we make good decisions. Impartial. If you want to hear more about impartial, listen to Matt's sermon on this. He talked a lot about favouritism and how we can accidentally slip into favouritism. And then sincere. We see a lot of lying at the moment, don't we, in some of our political leaders? And yes, sincerity and honesty counts for a lot. Or if you want some shorthand, have you ever seen one of these? So this is a wristband, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And these were very popular in the 1990s. And they're very cheesy. But actually, there's a really helpful message on there, because Jesus was the wisest person that ever lived. He was that life-giving, peace-loving, fruit-producing, heavenly wise person. And so perhaps the best challenge we can ever give ourselves is this something Jesus would do? But then maybe the best way is to simply ask him. Jesus is there and ready to walk alongside us through all of those 35,000 decisions we make each day, which is a relief because our decisions have consequences. And Al spoke last week about the consequences of a sharp tongue or an unwise word. And that can send us off in a bad direction, but a wise word or action can send us off in a life-giving direction. So the more that we recognise that Jesus is with us, and the more that we turn to him and ask him for help, the easier it's going to be for us to stay on that good, heavenly, wise path and not drift into this earthly wisdom. And so to finish, I think we should just get started on this and invite God to help transform us and help us to be heavenly wise. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you don't leave us to muddle through life alone. But you are with us every step of the way, ready to guide us. And Lord, we long to be wise like you. We long to live our lives in a way that is peace-loving and bears good fruit. And Lord, where there is envy in our hearts, or where we might feel driven by something that isn't of you, Lord, we pray that you would just clean that away. And instead, Lord, fill our hearts with that truth about just how much you love and value us. Lord, help us to be more like you. Amen.